Today's scripture lesson comes to us from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 11, and we're going to begin reading at verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In this verse, Jesus is speaking to the whole world. And in truth, there is not a person who has ever walked the earth that has not been heavily laden. We have been heavily laden. Not just with the daily troubles of life, but to carry the heaviest burden of all, our sin. Jesus came to take that burden from you. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. When I lived in Ohio, there was an Amish farmer down the road from us. And he had taken some of his Holstein steers and had muscled them up and had taught them to work. Now, you think that horses are strong, and they are. Those big Belgians and Persians they used were strong, but their strength paled to those oxen. I saw him pulling stumps with them one time, and, you know, they don't use tractors and bulldozers. And he dug around the edge of this great oak stump and drove loops in it to hook the chains, and he hooked four oxen to that, all of them on a yoke connected together. And it was as though they leaned, and I could see that stump start to shake, and it came out of the ground. Jesus is alluding to the use of oxen. And when you get a young oxen to train him, you don't put him in the yoke with another young oxen. You put him in the yoke with an old and trained oxen. And he learns from the young one does. So it is in the Christian life. We put our neck in the yoke with Jesus. He carries our burden. And we discover that in him, no matter what we face, he has a way of lightening our load, doesn't he? So he gives this teaching to us. This invitation to us. And you know, I called and invited a number of people here today. I regret that unless I'm overlooking one of them, I don't see a single one of them here. I trust you invited people. But you see, in the work of the Lord, he brings them, but we invite them. The church's job is to call to everybody who's heavily laden. Some of them don't know they are. And invite them in. My history with this church goes back longer than most of you have been alive. Back when I was young and handsome. And right now, you don't believe this. It's true. Had a full head of hair. Now, that's true. Janice, maybe she's old enough, she could give an amen to that. I had a thick head of hair. Times change all things, don't they? But I went in, amen, brother. That wasn't an amen, but he laughed out loud. But this building we sit here, I remember before it was here. And I remember the hard work that most of those saints that are put in that work are now with the Lord. You know, this church loves to tease me. Have you noticed that? I went into the they're not the young adult class now. They're the middle adult class this morning, and told them that we'd made chicken and dumplings, or Elizabeth made chicken and dumplings. But we were bringing chicken and dumplings today, and one of those bright lights in there said, "What, no possum stew?" Well, I remember the first Brunswick stew we participated in here, and we, the old Glencoe school, we built the fires to cook it. Mike Rasko and Bill Farrell and Roy Lee Cobb, some of us, they've done it at 4 o'clock. But there was a lady here, Miss Lula Garrison. Anybody here remember Miss Lula? Few hands there. She was in charge of the Brunswick stew. Now, my poor wife had lived long enough with me. Her sense of humor had been somewhat warped by me. So we were down there stirring, and Miss Lula was so strict that everybody that bought a recipe to put in the big pot, it had to be just, well, this big chunk of chicken, she always liked the chicken broke up real, big chunk of chicken goes by and she says, "Oh, my goodness," she said, "somebody didn't break that chicken up." And my wife said, "Well, that's not chicken." Said, "That's some of that possum that Gerald put in there." Because they always put possum in Brunswick stew in the mountains. I thought she was going to have a stroke. She says, "Oh, no, don't tell anybody you put possum in there. They got people coming all the way from Durham and they won't buy a bit of that stew." Well, she was different than I was. She told her the truth that there was no possum in there. But anyway, long memories, you know, all the hours of quilting and stews that went in, because we were very small then and times were not as good to get this building up. And I can think through the history of this church, and I watched with pride of all the things this church has accomplished over the years in terms of facilities and all of this. And I'm just so grateful at the end of my ministry, God has brought me back here for a time. And I want to tell all of you something, that from the first time I came over the mountains from Johnson City to be the pastor, that wherever I've gone in the world since then, even to Honolulu and Cleveland, Ohio, all those places, more so than the town which I grew up in, Lakeview has been home. And I've known so many lives that have been marked with that same thing. God called this church together. I go over in my mind many of the old saints that are now with the Lord. I've known most of the preachers that have been here. Oh, what wonderful people many of them were. I remember with fondness the Reverend Guy Veazey, who was here. He and his sweet wife spent many a morning in their home on Saturdays because we did woodwork together. I've got a book of his poems about his family in Alabama. I think of Dr. Truitt and his wife, that their son John was the first pastor here. I knew John, and I deeply love Mr. and Ms. Truitt. And I want to tell the congregation something. You know these pulpit chairs up here? Ms. John Truitt gave those chairs to this church. There used to be a note in it. I'm going to put another note in them telling their origin. But these chairs once sat in the home of one of the most famous Irish politicians in the world, a leader of the Irish Free State movement in Parliament, Charles Stuart Parnell. And they're older than anybody in here. But what makes this church great is not its facilities, but the saints of God that have sat in these pews and are sitting in them now. It's not the preacher. The preachers come and go. That's probably a good thing. But you are the sustained body of Jesus Christ here in this community. We reflect back over the church's life, and at least as I reflect over it, we've all been through our trials here. Through many troubles, toils, and snares, as the old Amazing Grace tells us, we have already come. Those are realities that every church deals with. Some of them deal with it in a worldly fashion, and it leads to shame. But when you deal with them in a godly fashion, it leads to glory. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. And in this line we rejoice as a church. Thy grace has led us safe thus far. It hadn't been on our smarts or our abilities, His grace. Thy grace has led us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. I believe that. What do you believe? I believe that for the true church of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. I'm a church historian. I know the history of the church, and I've seen the history of the church for 2,000 years, and I found that in the end to be invariably true, that God's grace will sustain His body in all things, and I'm trusting that He will lead us on to glory. I've entitled the message today, Welcome Home, and I hope the whole community, the lost people all around us, will at some point hear this call through the grace of Christ to them. This is home. It's home not just because we're a friendly people, and we are that. I had one church that one time they were just so set in their ways. Nobody owns any pews here. You can sit wherever you want to if you can beat them there. When I was pastoring a large church, it had some issues, and praise God, the power of the gospel got it straightened out. But when I was first there, they had this couple and they were probably in their 70s, young people. And they sat at the same place every Sunday in that church, and I was told they'd been sitting at that same place ever since they started coming back in the Stone Age. And one day we had a new visitor, happened to be later on a college professor that joined the church. Everybody came to love him, but he came in and he sat down. I was up in the pulpit with the senior minister, and he sat down in that pew, and they came in, and I could see that this couple was saying something to him. To my surprise, he stood up, got down on his knees, and looked under the seat, and then got up and said something to him and sat back down. And I thought they were going to have conniption right there, but they did find some other place to sit. And what he'd said to him says, he got down and says, "Sorry, I don't see your name on it." Well, this isn't that kind of church, but there are churches that have those issues. This church stands to welcome sinners, right? I told a fellow down here at Dollar General the other day, well, it's been more than a few days ago, he came to me and he said, "I wouldn't come to that church, it's full of hypocrites." I'm talking about this church. And I said, "Oh, really?" He says, "Yes." I said, "That makes me so happy." He says, "Happy?" I said, "Yes, because a church that's preaching the Bible is the only place hypocrites are going to get well. They're going to go to heaven. They're not going to go to hell like you, who's so self-righteous you won't come." Your preacher talks straight sometimes. He tries to do it in private. But this church is not our church. Did you know it? This church does not belong to you and me. This church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, who bought us all by His blood. Amen? Amen? And so we celebrate that today on homecoming. We celebrate it. We want to be under the rule of Jesus Christ. People always say, well, preacher, not here. I've had lots of church. Well, preacher, I think that such and such ought to be done. And it has nothing to do with the Word of God. And I say to them, you know, you're thinking like a worldly person. And let me tell you what worldly thinking does. The Bible tells us clearly, there is a way that seemeth right unto man. You remember the Bible says that. But whose end is destruction. We're not interested in our way, I pray to God, in this church. But we're interested in His way. We don't want the church to look like us. We want the church to look like Jesus. And I'm so proud. I've been proud of you all through the years, even when you were going through your troubles, that in the end you came out looking like Jesus. Sometimes it wasn't easy. Many times you went home with a broken heart. But God has been faithful because so many of you have desired to be faithful. And I always tell everybody, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I've served many, many churches, probably because I wasn't always popular, but I've served many, many churches. I've served churches from Honolulu to Cleveland, Ohio. I've preached in over 3,000 different churches in my, but I have never seen a church like this one. Now we have our bumps and our itches and our hurts just like anybody, but I've never seen a church like this one. I tell you, in this church, it doesn't matter what color you are, what ethnicity you are. It matters if you love Jesus and want to walk with Him. And that's the only thing it ought to matter. I'll tell you something else. From the first time I was here, and then when at the encouragement of some others, I left here to go to a church that really had troubles. But from the first time I was here, all through the 50 years of my ministry, whenever I thought of home, I didn't think of Saudi Daisy where all my relatives lived. Whenever I thought of home, I thought of Lakeview. And that'll be my thoughts when my life comes to an end. Even when I leave here, I'll be back here one more time. I'll probably be in a box, but I'll be here one more time. You know, I look out across our community, and I know a lot of people that are troubled. They're trying to find meaning in their life. I witness to a couple of them every week almost, and I run into people. And they're trying to find something, and where they're looking, they're never going to find it. They only find it when they really, you know, everybody in the world is homesick till they find home. Did you know that? And the only home that is really home is amongst the body of believers who love the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I have no doubt if I had any, I could call some of my relatives and they wouldn't help me, but I have no doubt in my mind if I had a real need in my life, I could tell you all and it'd be taken care of just like we'll do it for you. I find the people here that love one another in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. Wives and husbands, you've never loved each other until you love each other in Jesus Christ. Parents, you never love your children till you love them in Jesus Christ. And folks, you are never really loved until you are loved in Jesus Christ. Praise God, I feel that here. Do you? Welcome home. No, our church is not really our church, it's His church. And because it's His church, it's not our way, but His way. We can celebrate homecoming today because being in that kind of body, we're going to go out into the world and even as we deal with each other, not as the world, not as its way, but that through us, the Lord's way might be witnessed and seen. I always tell folks I'm a gentle Calvinist. I am, mainly because I think that God's sovereign grace and power as the only saving force is what's taught in the Bible. Now, if you can show me otherwise, I'll. But, you know, some people get way out in the weeds. I got a Presbyterian preacher that can just about tell you the entire account of who's elected in the church and who's not. Now, I don't know that. And I'm like Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher that I didn't know, but I love him. Until God shows me who's elect and who's not, I'm going to preach the message of Christ. Come whosoever will. That's what it's about. That's what Lakeview's about. Our loving home here. That's its purpose, to say to every person that needs the Lord Jesus, come whosoever will. Now, the only other church I ever served that could come near to holding a candle to this was the one in Hawaii. And they love the lost. We ought to love the lost. I'm thankful when I was lost, the Lord loved me. How about you? I love the lost, and this church did. And we had a guy named Big Paul in our church. Big Paul had been a drug addict. Started coming to church, started getting his life right. But then one day he came to me and the elders crying, said, I've fallen back into my old ways. I'm heavily in debt. These men are going to kill me if I don't pay them. I'm so sorry to have to tell you this. And he wept. Well, those godly elders got down and put their hands, and the little Japanese guys, they look like midgets next to him. They put their hands in his hand. They begin to pray fervently for him. They begin to pray for God to restore him. Two of them out of their own pockets paid his debt. Now they held him accountable. He was assigned things he had to do and be. But he knelt on his knees and repented there. And I saw the Lord lift him up. Let me tell you what Big Paul's doing today. Big Paul's on the island of Maui today. He's got a large ministry reaching out to drug addicts and putting them on the steps through the Lord Jesus to overcome it. You see, the church is for sinners. It's not a display case for saints. In fact, none of us are saints. It's a hospital for sinners. That's why I'm begging and pleading these people that don't have a living faith relationship to Jesus. Please come to Lakeview. First, I know they're going to hear the gospel from the pulpit, and I know they're going to see the gospel in your all's lives, and I know that's the only power in the world that can save them. Lakeview is a church that tells everybody, welcome home. This is a place where you'll meet the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's got what you need. He's got what we all need. Amen. So homecoming, come unto us, all ye that labor and are heavily laden. We'll introduce you to the Savior. Come unto him. Come unto him. Get in the yoke with him. And you'll discover that all the things in the world you thought were heavy about being a Christian are in fact light. Because we don't carry the load, he carries it. I'm proud of this church. I tell preachers all across the country that I know, I'm pastoring the best church in America, and I believe that with all my heart. And when I say that, I'm saying it because of you people. You people are the wind under my wings. I'm not very proud of me. I got more faults and sins than you could dream of. I fight them hair, tooth, and toenail. And I'll gum them to death if I have to. But you all, don't doubt that the light of Christ is shining from you. Don't doubt that the Lord is in this place. I've been in a lot of churches where I worried that he was, but I don't worry about that here. I told Elizabeth yesterday morning that I know whatever befalls us, we're going to be all right. I can't say that about every place. This church, when your mother, God bless Miss Rita, and when Henry and Omi Snipes and Mike Rasko and Luther Cobb and all those others, a few in number, heard the call of Jesus Christ to tell them that this community needed a church that was for this community. I mean, folks, you don't realize those were poor times, how much finances and hours those people sacrificed to found this church, but God was in it. Hallelujah, God was in it. And it has borne beautiful fruit. You know, when a person's coming out of prison or coming out of drug addiction or whatever addiction, they often go to a halfway house. You know what that is? And that halfway house is filled with people that know their needs, that are committed to their needs. And they reside there until they're ready for their permanent place. Well, Lakeview is that kind of home for the world. And when I say the world, I mean people outside the faith. Lakeview is here to receive those that are broken, that are lost, that are struggling. Don't you ever forget this. This is their home. It's my home. Until God takes us to our real home. Don't ever forget that we're here to be built up mutually, but our primary reason to being here is to do the work of Jesus. That's why we're here. That's more important than new carpet, more important than a good-looking preacher, more important than anything, to do his will. We've been saved by grace through faith and not of any of our works, lest any of us could boast. But we've been saved for a holy purpose. And Paul says that the saved are predestined to do the good works the Lord has prepared beforehand. Our good work is to bear witness to Jesus and to lead lost people to him. Do you believe that? I do. A people that say, to the lost, to the lonely, to the troubled, welcome home. Welcome home. Come here with all your troubles and give them to Jesus. And you'll find that he's lightening your load. Not like that rock and roll song they used to play back when Janice was young and glamorous. I'm running down the road trying to loosen my load. You remember that song? Folks, it ain't from running down the road that you loosen your load. It's from running to Jesus that you find the rest for yourself. Homecoming's a happy day. We celebrate that God has called us to a holy purpose, don't we? We celebrate today that God in his sovereign grace has elected us to life eternal through Jesus Christ. Not of anything we have done, but what he has done. We celebrate that, and he's put us together in a body of other believers to help us and to carry us and to lead us We celebrate that he's made us a home for the homeless. Happy birthday, Lakeview. And to all we say, welcome home. We've got a place for you. Well, that's it for today. If I live, I'll bore you again next Sunday. But remember to tell people, come unto Jesus, all ye who are burdened and heavily laden, and he will give you rest. Learn of him, and you'll learn the life whose load is lightened through him. You know these lost friends of mine? I could name them. Some of you know who they are. I could name them. They don't know how much I love them. They don't know how much I pray for God to change their eternal destiny through his grace from darkness to light. I don't love them for what they can do for me. I don't even love them for what I can do for them. I love them for what Jesus can do for them. I want to tell them, come to Lakeview. That's your home. You'll be welcomed. They don't believe it. They don't believe it. But people, God has blessed you with power you may not even see, but I see it. We're the people that God has called in our time to be doorkeepers in his house, to open it. There's no greater honor than to be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord, the Bible says. To open it and say, come unto Jesus. That's what we're about. Come unto Jesus and learn of him. Well, thank you. I'm going to pray right now. And then we're going to have our closing song. So there won't be a benediction today. I'm going to pre-benedict the benediction. Heavenly Father, thank you for this glorious day. Thank you for the glorious gospel that saved us. Thank you for the glorious gift of this, your holy church. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be the light in this community to all who need to know your love and redemption, to all who need to know your help. Lord, make us lights that reflect you and not ourselves. Now, Lord, we're going to go to your table in just a few minutes, and that table over yonder is just as much yours as this communion table, and we pray that you'll be present at that every table in that room, that every eye and heart will be focused on you and loving one another in you. And we pray that you'll bless that food to the nourishment of our bodies, and we say not this just to be saying it, but nourish our bodies that they may become unto you a living sacrifice. Amen.